Today we're going to be looking at shloka number 12, 13, and 14 in chapter 23 of the Dasam Skanda. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jayom Mudirait. Nashta Praye Svabhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavad Yutama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. Om Jnan Timirandasya. Jnanam Jana Shalakaya. Chakshur Unmilitam Vena. Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Mukam Karoti Vachalam. Pangum Langhayate Girim. Yat Kripatam Aham Bande. Sri Gurun Dinatarinam. Vanchakalpa Tirubhyascha. Kripasindubhya eva cha. Patitanam pavanebhyo. Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Prabhu Nityananda. Sri Advaita Gadadhara. Srivas Adi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So which shloka is on the board? All of them are on the board.
Okay, so 12, shlokas 12 and 13 have no purport, so we'll just read the Sanskrit and then we'll go to 14. TK? Thank you.
Nate yad omiti prochur naneti cha parantapa gopa nirasha pratyetya tato chu krishna ramayo.
Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When the brahmanas failed to reply even with a simple yes or no, O chastiser of the enemy, Parikshit, the cowherd boys returned disappointed to Krishna and Ram and reported this to them. So in other words, what we've read up to now, Krishna and Balaram have arrived in Vrindavan with the cowherd boys' friends, and they're hungry, and they send some cowherd boys to collect some foodstuffs to eat from the brahmanas. But the brahmanas are too busy doing their puja and their yajnas, and they don't have a real bhav for Krishna. So the boys return empty-handed to Krishna. We couldn't get anything. They're very disappointed. Shloka 13. Tad upakaranya bhagavan Prahasya Jagadishvara Vrajahara Punar Gopan Darshayan Loki Kim Gatim. Hearing what had happened, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord of the Universe, simply laughed. Then he again addressed the cowherd boys, showing him the way men act in this world. Well, there is a purport to this one. By laughing, Lord Krishna indicated to the cowherd boys that they need not be angry at the ritualistic brahmanas, but should understand that one who begs will often be refused. So Krishna laughed. He thought it was funny. The boys came back. They were very disappointed. We couldn't get anything to eat. And Krishna laughed. He laughed because he knew that would happen. He was well aware of that. So he wasn't surprised or disappointed. He just laughed. And Prabhupada explains in the purport that Krishna indicated by his laughing that if cowherd boys should understand that they should not be angry at the ritualistic brahmanas, but they should understand that when you go out begging, most of the time you will be refused. And we've experienced this. We go out on the streets to distribute back to Godhead or books, and people, they're not so receptive. Of course, if you go out and distribute prasadam, they're very receptive because they see that that's for their benefit. But they don't understand that getting the book, which gives the commentary on the shastras, which explains what is their goal of life and purpose being here in the material world, that they don't understand, so they're often refused. Text number 14. Mam japayata pratatnibhya sasankashanam agatam dasyanti kamam anamya snigdamayushita diya mam japayata pratatnibhya sa sankarshanam agatam dasyanti kamamanam va snigdamayushita dhiya mam japayat patnibhya sa sankarshanam agatam dasyanti kamam anamba snigdamayushita dhiya Vaishnavis.
Namah
Mam
me.
Gyapayata.
Please announce.
Patnibhya. To the wives. Sasankarsanam. Together with Lord Balaram. Agatam. Arrived. Dashyanti. They will give. Kamam. As much as you desire. Anam. Food. Va. To you. Snigdha. Affectionate. Mayi. In me. Ushita. Residing. Dhiya. With their intelligence. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Lord Krishna said, tell the wives of the Brahmanas that I have come here with Lord Sankarsan. They will certainly give you all the food you want, for they are most affectionate toward me, and indeed, with their intelligence, reside in me alone. Responsively, please. Lord Krishna said, tell the wives of the Brahmanas that I have come here with Lord Sankarsan. They will certainly give you all the food you want, for they are most affectionate toward me, and indeed, with their intelligence, reside in me alone. So this is a very interesting pastime. We learn from these three shlokas that Krishna already knew in advance that the Brahmanas would not give and the cowherd ladies would give. But instead of saying like that, he sent the cowherd boys out to beg first from the Brahmanas and then from the patnis of the Brahmanas so that they could get experience. Realization. Because if you tell people something, sometimes it goes in one ear and out the other. But if they have an experience, then that lasts, that stays with them. They'll remember that. Srila Prabhupada's purport. While physically the wives of the Brahmanas remained at home, within their minds they resided in the Supreme Lord Krishna because of intense affection for him. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that the reason Lord Krishna did not have the cowherd boys tell the Brahmanas' wives he was hungry is he knew that this would severely distress these devoted ladies. Simply out of affection for Lord Krishna, however, the wives would be happy to give all the food requested of them. They would not heed their husband's prohibitions since they resided within the Lord through their transcendental intelligence. So these shlokas give us a very good understanding of the difference between the Bahiranga Shakti, the Bahiranga Seva, and the Antaranga Seva. So in verse 12 and 13, we learn that the Brahmanas, which Prabhupada used the adjective ritualistic brahmanas. They were doing rituals. In other words, it wasn't full of bhav, but it was more from the intellect rather than from the heart. Whereas the wives of the brahmanas, they were staying in their homes. They didn't go out. They didn't do ritualistic activities. They just stayed at home. But their seva was antaranga seva. Their whole mentality was service of the Lord in the mind. Which reminds me of this song. Mama mona mandire rahani shitin Krishna murari Sri Krishna murari. Mama mona mandire, in the temple of my mind. So internally we have a temple and externally we have a temple. Mama mona mandire rahani shitin. Who remains there day and night? Sri Krishna Murari. Day and night, Nishidin. Krishna Murari, Sri Krishna Murari. So the wives of the Brahmanas, they were constantly doing their antaranga seva in the temple of their heart and mind to Lord Krishna. And the Brahmanas, they were doing their external seva, which is also wonderful. We shouldn't think that it's not good. It's wonderful. But it's more of the intellect and it's more Bahiranga, where the wives of the Brahmanas, they just stayed at home and they were doing these Antaranga Seva. Now it's very interesting that the wives of the Brahmanas were doing double Seva. Number one, they were keeping the home nice and clean, preparing foodstuffs for their husbands. So when the Brahmanas came home, it was a pleasing atmosphere. They had nice prasadam. So they were definitely serving their husbands. Prabhupada explains that they were chaste ladies. They were completely devoted to their husbands. But at the same time, their heart was with Krishna. And in the temple of their mind, they remained day and night serving Krishna. This is the antaranga seva. Now, which of the two is most important? On one hand, you can say they're both equally important. But if we consider from desh kal patra, from time and circumstance, at the time of your death, when you're on your deathbed and you have no more shakti left, that antaranga seva is much more important. Because we can't do the bahiranga seva, it's not possible. And I experienced this here in India in the 1970s. Yesterday we heard that India in the 1970s was not like India today. It was very, very, I don't want to use the word backward, but undeveloped. Sorry?
Simple,
right. Or what the West would say, undeveloped. And it was very difficult. You couldn't even make a phone call. It was unbelievable. And disease was rampant. And I got malaria 3 times. When you get malaria, the first thing that happens is you get so cold. And I remember we were in Delhi, and it was in the middle of the summer, and it was like 50 degrees. And I was freezing. I didn't know what was going on. Give me a chatter, more chatter. Because that's what happens with malaria. First you get the chills and you're freezing. And then comes the fever and you're so hot. And it lasts for about a week. Chills, fever, and then a break. And then the next day at the exact same time, with me it was at noon, chills, fever, break. And again the next day at noon, chills, fever, and then a break. And you're just lying there. And I was on traveling Sankirtan, so I'd be lying in the van. And my Sankirtan partner, Satyanarayan Prabhu, he would go out, distribute books, and I'd be in the van, you know, experiencing this heavy, heavy fever. And you can't do any seva. You can barely even chant. So I had that experience. So the antaranga seva, mama mana mandire, that temple in the mind, has to become the more important facet of our devotional activities as we grow older and older and our shakti begins to become less and less. And Srila Prabhupada, he passed his last few months here in Sri Vrindavan Dham, and we were here for some of those days, and then we went out on traveling Sankirtan again. But Prabhupada, one of the things he said when he was lying on his bed, unable to even get up, He said, don't think that this won't happen to you. So it will happen to all of us. Even the Yudhisthira Maharaj, when he is asked, what is the most adbhut thing that you can think of? What is the most amazing thing in the world? And Yudhisthira said, the most adbhut thing is that everyone will die. Death is 100%, but still everyone is thinking, I won't die. I will not die. But death is 100%. So, in those days, Prabhupada was lying in his rooms, in his bed. He couldn't come to the morning programs or anything. These are the final months of Srila Prabhupada's Leela here in Vrindavan. And different devotees would go up to chant in his room. So one day, Nrsinga Chaitanya and myself, Nrsinga Chaitanya, you remember, he was here for a year or so, and then he left his body last year. So him and I, we went up one afternoon, and we were chanting for Srila Prabhupada, very quietly. You have to have really tiny kartels, ting, 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 very softly, and just chant Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada was lying on his bed. And then I was chanting Hare Krishna for some time, and then I thought I wanted to glorify Srila Prabhupada. So I started singing Samsara Dava Nalalila Loka. Prabhupada was just Maha Mantra. He only wanted to hear Maha Mantra. He didn't want to hear glorification of the Guru. He wanted to hear glorification of Krishna. So Prabhupada was in his antaranga seva at that time. He was fixed on going back home, back to God. And he told us that my time has come. And so he was fixed on that internal seva. So here in these pastimes, this particular leela, Krishna knows that the brahmanas are situated in the bahiranga seva, external seva. They're attached to their pujas. They're attached to their yajnas. They're attached to their chanting of the mantras, because this is what they practice. This is what they've been doing their whole lives. And they want to be the best at what they do, because this means being a brahmana. So they're attached to that. Of course, they're doing all those yajnas and sevas for Krishna, but because they're ritualistic brahmanas, that the rituals take prominence in their mind over the receiver of the rituals, which is Krishna. Then you have the wives of the brahmanas who are only doing the antaranga seva, because the bahiranga seva they're doing for their husbands. They're keeping everything clean. Jharu pocha, the house, cooking, then doing offering the prasad to Krishna, then serving their husbands when they come home, making sure, and then massaging the legs of the husband at night before they take rest. So they're doing all this wonderful seva for the husband, but internally they're only thinking of Krishna. So Krishna knows this. So when the Brahmana boys come back, they're disappointed. None of the Brahmas would give us anything. They were shocked. The shloka says disappointed. But they were shocked. Krishna could see they were shocked when they returned back. And so he laughed at their shock, because he knew that they weren't aware that the Brahmanas were more attached to their service than they were to actual Sri Krishna himself. Which is kind of like us. We're more attached to our service because Krishna for us has not become manifested as a reality in our moment-to-moment consciousness. We're on the path of bhakti yoga. It's called sadhana bhakti. Not bhakti, but sadhana bhakti. We're practicing bhakti. So we're in this mood where our seva is the most important thing, and of course we're doing it for Krishna, but we're more attached to doing our seva than we are thinking that how is Krishna receiving this? Is he pleased? Is he enjoying my seva for him? Will he give me some benediction? Am I doing this properly for him? We don't so much fix on him, but we more fix on doing the seva. Whereas the Brahmana ladies, they were only thinking of Krishna. Ma ma mana mandire raha nishidin Krishna muradi. So nishidin, all day and all night. They were fixed on Krishna in the temple of their heart. So that means 24 hour seva. Nishidin, that's 24 hour seva, day and night. So Krishna laughed when the Brahmana boys came back shocked. And he said, oh, don't worry. When you go out to beg for something, generally people will not respond. So the cowherd boys said, yes, now we understand. They had that experience. So then Krishna says, you now go to the Brahmana ladies and you tell them that I have arrived with Lord Balaram. Sa Sankarsana. I've come with Sankarsana, with Lord Balaram. But don't tell them that we're hungry. Because they have so much bhakti, so much devotion for me. If you tell them that we're hungry, they'll be in anxiety. Oh, Krishna's hungry. Oh, so we don't want to disturb them. Just say that we've come. Would it be possible to get some foodstuffs to offer to the Lord? And then they will be happy. So Krishna knows the mind of his devotees. He knows how they'll behave. He knows everything. You know, the very first shloka of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the very beginning, which begins, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And the last two words of that shloka is Abhigyasvarat. That Krishna is fully cognizant of everything. He knows every single person's thought. He knows every person's activities and desires. And yet he's completely independent. He's not attached to anything. You may give, you may not give. He remains completely undisturbed all the time. He's not dependent on our offerings. We're thinking, like for example, at home I have my Radha Damodar Murtis, we have a beautiful altar. And so I go out, buy vegetables, and then I cook for the deities, and I offer to Sri Sri Radha Damodar what I've cooked. This is part of my daily seva. So I know that what I'm cooking and offering to Radha Damodar is nothing like what they're used to, what they get from Mother Yashoda and what they get from Radharani. My cooking is, they probably would turn their, no, we're not hungry. That's what happened when Krishna came to, what was the name of Delhi before? Hastinapur. When Krishna came to Hastinapur just before the Kurukshetra Yudha, so Duryodhan wanted to have Krishna and his army on his side. So he went to see Krishna, offered dandavat pranams, spoke sweet words, and he invited him, you please come to my palace. I've cooked a sumptuous feast just for you. And Krishna said, but I'm not hungry. How can I eat? I have no hunger. And then Vidura, he went to offer, make an offering to Krishna. Said, you please come to my home and take some prasad. And Krishna says, oh, thank you for offering. I'm starving. I'm so hungry. I haven't eaten for a long time. So Krishna knows the mind of everybody. He knows that Duryodhan's offering, he was motivated. He had a reason. He was motivated. It was not unmotivated, unalloyed devotional service. But Vidura's offering was unmotivated and devotional. So Krishna accepted. So the way Krishna accepted and didn't accept was in a very gentle way. He said to Duryodhana, oh, I'm not hungry. And then to Vidura, he said, oh, I'm starving. So Krishna understands everything about everybody at all times. Abhigya and Swarat, he's completely independent. He doesn't require our service, but he allows us to do service, not for his benefit, but for our benefit. Generally, when we do service for somebody, we're doing it for their benefit. You join a company, you're working for the benefit of the company. You have a family, you work for the benefit of the family. You know, you're in the brahmachari ashram, you're working for the benefit of the other brahmacharis. You're on traveling sankirtan, you're working for the benefit of distributing Prabhupada's books. But Krishna, he doesn't really need our service, but he accepts our service because our service is for our own benefit. When we do service for Krishna, that is for our benefit, not for his benefit. He's already 100%, 100% benefited. He's completely full, complete, Om Purnamada Purnamidam. So there's no, he doesn't need any service. He doesn't require anything, but he allows us to serve him out of affection for us. So when I do my offering to Radha Damodar, you know, I know in my mind that this is not fit for them to eat. But how, I want them to accept it. So how can I get them to accept my offering of cooking when I know it's not worthy of them to eat? It's not at their standard. So this is what I say. I say, my dear Lord Radha Damodar, please accept this offering so that my family members will get your mercy. And any guests that come to my home will get your mercy. So now how they can say no? Because now it's distributing their mercy to others. And this is what Krishna always wants to do. So by doing our seva, tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam, by doing our regular seva, and every day we're doing our seva. Every day we're getting up, we're chanting, we're attending the aartis, we're hearing Bhagavatam, we're doing whatever seva we do during the day, we're doing it. That's tesham satata yuktanam. We're always engaged. If we do this our whole life, then our whole life we were constantly engaged, bhajatam, in worshipping Krishna. But there's one little caveat there. Priti purvakam. It should be filled with love. Now, because we're doing sadhana bhakti, we're only trying to develop that priti. Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has explained something very, very wonderful, which I'll share with you. We may not have any love for Krishna. We may be thinking like that, I have no love for Krishna. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said that when you have a duty and you do your duty, even you don't want to do your duty, even though there's something else that you would rather do, but instead you do your duty, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that is the first step of love. That is the first sign of love. And another experience I had with one of my godbrothers, Keshava Bharati Maharaj. I had been doing preaching around India, and I was up in Rishikesh doing programs with the yogis and chanting and everything. So I came back and I was in Govardhan and took prasad with Maharaj. And he asked me what I was doing, where I just come from. I just came from Rishikesh. We were doing kirtan with the yogis. He said, oh, that's wonderful. Well, yeah, it was not so wonderful. I mean, I did my best, but I don't have any love for Krishna. So I couldn't really give them Krishna prema. But at least whatever energy I had, I gave my full energy. And then Maharaj said, but that energy, that is your love. When you give your full energy, that is your love. So whatever energy we're giving to Krishna, that is our love. It's not the complete, full prema bhakti, but we're on the path. It's a gradual process. So this is a wonderful thing that we're reading here, because Lord Krishna, he understands everything, and Prabhupada says here, simply out of affection for Lord Krishna, the wives would be happy to give all the food requested of them. They would give it more than they needed for Krishna and Balaram. And they would not heed their husband's prohibitions. This is very interesting. The wives were chaste. They surrendered 100% to their husbands. But when it came to Krishna, Krishna was first. If their husband said, no, don't give to Krishna, then they wouldn't follow that. No, we must give to Krishna. So Krishna is always number one. The husbands were number one, but Krishna was more number one. He was more. There's a Kanishtha number one, a Madhyam number one, and an Uttam number one. So Krishna is your Uttam number one. Then we may have our Madhyam and Kanishtha number ones. So they were following that because Prabhupada explains why they didn't heed their husband's prohibitions, because they resided within the Lord. Mama mana mandire. Krishna and his temple are non-different. They resided there within their heart. How? Through their transcendental intelligence. What does it mean, intelligence? Intelligence means how to behave in any situation. You come up with an obstacle in our life. Now, how do we overcome this obstacle? We have to use our intelligence. So, an obstacle came in the path of the wives of the brahmanas. The husbands were not so inclined to give the food that they wanted for them, to give it to Krishna and Balaram. But they used their transcendental intelligence. No, we must give because Krishna is Uttam number one. You're only Madhyam number one, the husband. So in this way, we have to learn this ourselves. Krishna has to become number one. And this is what he says in Bhagavad Gita. It's very, very clear. Oh, one last thing before I go to that. I was talking about Tesham Satadaya Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam. When we do that, which is our sadhana bhakti, how does Krishna respond? He reciprocates. Tesham Satadaya Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. Krishna then gives us the intelligence, Buddhi Yoga, the intelligence of Bhakti Seva. Yenamam upayanti te, so that they can come to me. So here, the wives of the brahmanas, they also were residing in their intelligence because of their constant seva for Krishna. So he was giving them that buddhi yogam tam, that supreme intelligence of bhakti yoga, so that they could come closer and closer and closer to him. It's a loving relationship. And even in the 18th chapter in Shloka 66, Krishna says, Sarva dharman parityaja, mam ekam sharanam vraja. Mam, me, ekam, number one, sharanam, surrender, make me number one. Mam ekam sharanam vraja, make me number one, like the residents of Vraja make me number one. But Vraja also has a different meaning. Vrajana in Sanskrit means doing touring, tirtha parikrama. So mam ekam sharanam vraja means surrender and make me number one wherever you go. Wherever you go. And I was meditating on that. What does it mean, wherever you go? Like on the plane, on the train. I was thinking like that. But I was thinking, what is the deeper meaning? And then I have an agreement with Krishna that I said, Krishna says, I fulfill the desires of all my devotees. Everybody knows that. Krishna fulfills the desires of his devotees. So my thing with Krishna is that whenever I want to understand some shloka or some deep philosophical point, I meditate on it to let Krishna know, this is my desire. You fulfill my desire to understand what is the meaning of the shloka. So Krishna reveals, he said, what it means is, every time you go somewhere, you're taking steps. So mam ekam sharanam vraja means, surrender and make me number one every step you take. Even if you go from this part of the temple to that part of the temple, you're taking steps. Every step, Krishna should be number one in your heart. And how do we do that? Every step should be Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And we can practice this just walking around Vrindavan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Just in the mind. So now I'm going to make my final point, very important point, because we were talking about the Antaranga Seva in the mind, because at the time of death, that's the only thing we have left. So although we love to go out and distribute books and make devotees, the most important devotee we have to make is our mind. Because if our mind becomes a Vaishnava, it will be very easy to become a Vaishnava. But if my mind does not want to be a Vaishnava, if my mind wants to dwell on Indriya Tripti, then it'll be difficult for me to make advancement. So we make our mind a devotee by, in our mind, every step we take, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And we're walking all day. And this is 24-hour japa. We have our 16 mantra japa, 16 mala japa, I should say. And we have our 24-hour japa. Our 24-hour japa is every step we take, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And 16 mala japa also. So this is important. Mama mana mandire. So let's get more fixed in our antaranga seva, because in the end, on our deathbed, this is the most important function. Because Krishna says in the 8th chapter, shlokas 5, 6, 7, and 8, four shlokas, he repeats the same thing over and over and over again, which means this is so important, that whatever you think of at the time of death, you attain that. If you think of me, you come to me. Hare Krishna. So let's think of Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.
Brahmanas were studying Vedas and scripture, and they were studying and understood the rules and regulations. But generally the wives are not like studying scripture, understanding all the rules and regulations. They've only heard about Krishna. So simply by hearing and thinking about Krishna, they achieve such high consciousness without really going through the scriptural rules and regulations and in-depth study of scripture to really mature their loving relationship with Krishna.
Okay, as temple president, he always asks the most profound question. So the answer is not either or, but both, depending on our situation. So, for example, in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna that to practice yoga, you have to control the mind. And Arjuna says, control the mind, Krishna. It's easier for me to control the wind than it is to control the mind. That was what Arjuna said. How many people agree with Arjuna? But Krishna didn't agree. He said, yeah, it's not easy. Undoubtedly it's difficult, but it can be done. And then in the next shloka, chapter 6, shloka 35, he says how it can be done. By practice and suitable practice and detachment. So Prabhupada explains in that purport what is the suitable practice. And the suitable practice is Shravanam. He doesn't mention Kirtanam at all. He doesn't mention Sevanam at all. He mentions only Shravanam. That whole purport is only Shravanam. Because if the Shravanam is good, everything else will be good. If you hear the teachings of the Vedas excellently, you'll follow those. If you hear the mantra full of attention, you'll chant the mantra properly. So everything in spiritual life is dependent on good shravanam. So shravanam is the prerequisite for kirtanam and also for smaranam, because if we don't hear properly, how are we going to remember? So that's the suitable practice. two things Krishna mentions. So the suitable practice is shravanam. And what is the attachment? Detachment, I should say. Detachment means attached to Krishna. Detached from everything else and only attached to Krishna. So I may be attached to so many things, but I focus that, or dovetail, as Prabhupada would say, that attachment towards Krishna. And now that's helping me control the mind. So everything is focused on Krishna, attachment for Krishna. And shravanam, you read the shastra, but you hearing means following. Prabhupada gave the example, you may tell someone, do not smoke. Their smoking is not good for your health. Oh yes, you're right. But the next day you see them, they're still smoking. So Prabhupada would say, they did not hear. Because when you've heard, then you follow the instruction. So if we read the instructions of the shastra, but we don't follow the shastra, then we haven't really heard properly. But if we're following, then we've heard properly. So the brahmanas, they heard properly. They were following paka. But their attachment was less for Krishna and more for their seva. And that's true for us also. We're attached to our seva because we know our seva is connected to Krishna. And Krishna is the goal, prayojana. But we know that the seva is the sambandha. What's the second one? Abhideya. So our seva is the abhideya. So we're fixed in the abhideya now. But we know what is the prayojana. So hearing means that we'll practice properly eventually, but it's a process. So the wives of the brahmanas, they were at a level that they simply hearing and remembering, they were fixed. Because they were already doing seva for their husbands. Vairanga seva. So now all the antaranga seva is for Krishna. So we can also do that. Our antaranga seva is for Krishna. Always think of Krishna. Never forget Krishna. Always have complete trust that Krishna's mercy will be there for us. You know, as Rupa Goswami suggests. But we do our external seva also. So I think that the answer to your question is both are important. Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, this gentleman here, he was first. Yeah. Okay, very good question. How does our abhideya come to prayojan? Well, in the beginning, we'll always be on the platform of abhideya because prayojana is a process. Now, that process can be quick or can be madhyam or it can be very slow. For some people, it takes lifetimes. For other people, only one life. For Dhruva Maharaj, it took 6 months. For Parikshit Maharaj, it took 7 days. So for Maharaj Katvanga, was in one moment he became fully Krishna conscious. So we're doing a process. So for the new devotees, don't worry about that. Focus on the abhideya. This will take you to the prayojan. But understand what is the prayojan, that you're doing it to connect to Krishna. So before we come to bhakti yoga, we're just conditioned souls through going body to body through the universe. And then we meet a devotee. Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. We meet a devotee. Krishna arranges, we meet a devotee, we make a connection. We make a connection to Krishna through ISKCON. And we make our connection to Krishna through our seva. And this is the abhideya. But the goal of the abhideya is this relationship, prayojana. So we can't just remain on this platform. We have to come to this platform. If we remain on this platform at the end of our life, Krishna may say, well, you're not ready. One more lifetime. Try, you have one more chance. So we want to come to this level here. So for you new devotees, you're rightly situated. But if someone's 50 years doing bhakti yoga and they're still at this level, then they should start to worry. Why am I not making advancement like this? So don't you worry, because you're in the beginning. But understand what is the goal and strive for the goal. Thinking of Krishna, every step you take, make your mind a devotee. Then it will be easy to get the prayojana. TK? Okay, well, let me correct you, first of all. You said that to reach Krishna, you have to cut all the other relationships. This is not true. This is not a fact. You don't cut all the other relationships. You maintain those relationships in Krishna Seva. You engage those relationships in Krishna Seva. So Krishna Seva becomes number one. My wife Seva becomes number two. Or children Seva number two. Family Seva. Society Seva. They're all there, but they're connected to Krishna. We don't cut them. Lord Chaitanya, he took sannyas, and he went to Puri. And he wasn't in Puri very long. He stayed there for the Rath Yatra, and then he decided, let me go on a tour of India. And he had just taken sannyas, and he went on a tour of India. And everywhere he went, he was chanting Hare Krishna, and he attracted so many people. And people would leave their villages and want to follow him. And he'd say, no, kiba vipa kiba nyasi shudra kene noi, ye Krishna tatva veta se guru hoi. You remain in your village. You become Krishna conscious. You preach to everyone else. You make everyone else Krishna conscious. He didn't want everyone to become tyagis, sannyasis, and cut relationships. He didn't want that. For 6 years he traveled like that and he preached like that. And when he came back to Puri, he did a most adbhut thing that shocked everybody. Again, after the Rath Yatra, all the devotees had come from Navadvip. And then they would ask different questions and he would answer them. And then he would give different sevas. So for Nityananda Prabhu, he called Nityananda for a private darshan. He said, I have a very important seva for you. Said, oh, what is this? I'm going to give you Bengal. All of Bengal is going to be your Prabhu Datta Desh. You're going to preach entire, all over Bengal. You're going to have to leave my association here in Puri and go to Bengal. And in order to be successful in your preaching in Bengal, you have to get married. And Nityananda said, what? Married? I'm Naishthika Brahmachari. I don't even know how to talk to a woman. No, you must get married. He didn't want Nityananda to remain a tyagi. So Nityananda, he accepted Lord Chaitanya's instruction. So he went back to Bengal, and the first place he went stopped at a village was Kordoha, because he had a friend there, Suryadas Sarkil. The Suryadas noticed Nityananda's wearing white. But he didn't want to say anything. So he welcomed him in, gave him prasad, gave him a room. But the next morning, he brought it up. Oh, I see you're wearing white. Yes, Mahaprabhu, has asked me to get married.
Really?
Oh, yeah. So what are you going to do?
Well, I'm going to get married.
You're really going to get married?
Yeah.
Well, that's wonderful, because I have two daughters of marriageable age, Ashuddha and Jana. So Dharma Chinanda married both of them. So Lord Chaitanya was not in cutting relationships. He was in expanding relationships and bringing them all into Krishna, Krishna consciousness. And Janava Mata, the second wife of Nityananda, she became the topmost Vaishnava after the Panchatattva left the planet. She was known as Ishwari. That was her name. That was her title, Ishwari. She was honored and respected as Ishwari. Hare Krishna. So don't think you have to cut your relationships. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much.